You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Good morning, First Baptist Stuart. How's everybody doing today? Are you joyful to be in the house of the Lord? All right, stand and worship with us.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, to fill out this little form that's in the Heart publication and place that in the offering plate to let us get to know you. Kim and I had the opportunity this week to go to Liberty University, to Lynchburg, to spend the week with our kids, with Shay and Josh and our four grandkids as they're leaving tomorrow for Malaysia and potentially the rest of their lives. And I want to encourage y'all, if y'all would, to be in prayer for them. They're going to attempt to reach some folks there. I don't know. We're on Facebook right now, right? Yes. YouTube. Okay. All right. So y'all know the situation. So if you can, just be in prayer for them and for God to use them in a supernatural way. And I just want to encourage you to stand with us with them as they're attempting to do a great thing for Christ. There was a lot of tears. Clara, our oldest granddaughter, texted Shay last night and said that they cried for a couple hours after we left, and it was really sweet. Sweet time with them. Kim and I both had the opportunity to bless them and share with each one of them what they meant to us and how God's going to use them in a great way. And we'll talk more about it later. But also several other things. On the way out, we have our announcements and our invitations for our anniversary and our anniversary banquet. If you did not receive one of these, either in the mail or through the lobby recently, I want to encourage you, or if you're new today, to pick one up and fill this out and get it into us so we can record and get ready for your presence for our anniversary day and November 9th. And then we're going to have a great time. And then the next weekend, we're having a concert with Shannon Smith. And then we're also on the Saturday of the next weekend having an activity out at the property. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. We'll have a cookout, and there'll be a lot of games and activities. And it's a great opportunity for you to, if you haven't been to the property, to go and get acquainted with that as well. And then on your way out today, we want to invite you to pick up your books for our Bible studies. They start tonight. The men's Bible study, it's an Adrian Rogers study. When we say Father, and it's talking about prayer and intercession. And then the Gospel of John, the women's study. And those books are available. And please go by and grab one and sign them up while we still got some. I think for the men, we've still got the tape on discs, or the book on disc, if you want to pick those up and listen to it. And if you're not an avid reader, which a lot of men are not, we want to encourage you to pick one of those up on your way out. And then I'd like to make you aware, one of our members, Cassidy Daniels, sang here for years. She's just auditioned for The Road, which is a show Blake Shelton's putting on CBS, and they've accepted her, and she's going to be, is there a shot from that? Anyway, there's the ads. It's October 19th on CBS, and I want to encourage you to look in on that and see how she does, and see if she can't get Jesus in on the road on that show. And she's just a great girl, a real champion, and we're excited about how God's elevating her. Amen? Amen. God bless.
If you have noticed, we have lots of youth up in the choir.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain we had this morning. Lord, please bless this offering and everyone giving, Lord. And Lord, I would ask that Holy Spirit pour out amongst everyone today, and Pastor would share your message, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good job, guys, collecting all the offering. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Thank you, young people, for singing today. Praise the Lord. Good morning. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20, as we conclude the passage that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, a group of small house church pastors, and giving them instructions for living for the Lord that are very helpful for us. And so today we're going to pick up the second part of this passage. If you'll begin with me in verse 25. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So here we see the Apostle Paul and talking to us, and this is valuable instruction for you and I to live for the Lord Jesus and to stand for him. First of all, we see that we're responsible spiritually for the people we know and interact with on a daily basis, our family, our neighbors, our friends, our workmates, those around us that God puts us in proximity to. He holds us responsible for them. And we see this in our first two verses. And now behold, that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. We see in Scripture a number of times where God emphasizes this to us, our responsibility and our stewardship of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we see the practice of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. As you know, the Lord Jesus lived his life to be an example to each and every one of us. And so he was constantly in a state of teaching and compassion, sharing, healing, interacting with people. And you say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, you're supposed to be Jesus here on earth. That's what Christian means. We are Christ-like. And the term popped up in the New Testament referring to the Christ-likeness of the followers of Jesus, that they are like him and they look like him, act like him, talk like him, walk like him. And so we see this. And then in Acts chapter 28, we see beginning in verses, it's 31 and 32, the end of Acts. And the Apostle Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. Kim and I this week had the opportunity to go Wednesday to the convocation at Liberty University. They were doing their global emphasis this week for missions. And we were in chapel with 10,000 young adults, college students, as they were worshiping God and as they were being challenged to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was really exciting to sense God's presence there. When Kim and I went there, the student body was a couple of thousand. And now their body, the student body of Liberty with the online, is about 200,000. And it's amazing. It's the largest Christian college, seminary, training center in the history of Christianity. And it was exciting. And we see here that he tells us that we are responsible. They emphasize that there in the different meetings we attended, that they're responsible for the gospel all over the world. If not us, who? If not now, when? Or you and I to go and share the gospel. And so we see the Apostle Paul for 2 years rented a space, opened it up, and said, come inquire, come check us out. I received an email last week, I mentioned to you, from a young man saying, I'm not spiritual, I haven't gone to church, I haven't been involved, and can you tell me how to meet Jesus? And so my response, I called him the last Sunday before the service, and he came to the service last Sunday, and at the end he came forward, and he was no little lost guy. He was 6'8". He made me feel like a little boy, and he walked up to me, and we sat down on the front pew, and after the service he prayed to receive Christ. Isn't that exciting? Amen. And so we see in Scripture that the Lord tells us we're responsible. I think about that all the time. Every time I talk to someone on the phone, every time I interact with someone, I was sitting in a rather flimsy chair, and I know it's flimsy because Shiloh, the youngest 5-year-old, knocked one over, and Kim almost broke one, and it had a back on it that wasn't supported at the bottom, just a triangle of legs. And when I was backing it up, the back leg went under and threw me against the wall. I hit my head on the windowsill coming down. I'm on blood thinners, and I was concerned about that. So Kim rushed me to emergency at Lynchburg General. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to witness to several people. And one of them was a Muslim tech guy, and Shanice, and he prayed to receive Christ and gave his life to Jesus. Amen. And so that's why the chair broke. That's why I fell against the wall, so this young man could give his life to Christ. And he said that he was going to share with his family as well. And so you and I are responsible for those around us. And if not us, who? And so we see in Acts chapter 18, also verses 8 through 10, that, or chapter 19, rather, 8 through 10, that And he entered the synagogue, the Apostle Paul, and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them, took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And we see that the Apostle Paul responded to them in the way in which they responded to him. And so in Ezekiel chapter 33, we see a reference to the watchman on the wall. And this is a concept in the Old Testament. When watchmen were assigned to protect the city, they were designed to warn people and look out for danger. In Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 6, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you shall hear a message from my mouth and give them warning about me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked man of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand." One of the things I think about as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a witness for Jesus, is the fact that I have an accountability and that God brings people into my life. And I want to encourage you, you say, well, how will I know if God has brought someone into my life for me to share with? Usually, it's when you're out in the public and in a random way, someone pays attention to you. I mean, I've had so many different things where I'm kind of minding my own business, living my own life, and then all of a sudden a person will say, yes, you, come here. And they'll ask me some random question or pay attention to what I'm driving or what I'm wearing or what I'm doing or something. And invariably now, when that happens, I believe that is the Lord telling me to share him with them. And I want to tell you, most of the time, when that happens, the person gives their life to Christ. Divine appointments. Now, I've had some unique ones where I've shown up somewhere. Ruth Bogan, a Jewish senior lady in Miami Gardens, when I was knocking on doors years ago at my first church, I knocked on her door, and this little Jewish woman, kind of hunched over, about that tall, 4'11", comes to the door, opens the door, and I said, "I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at Gardens Baptist Church, and I'm just going through the neighborhood asking people questions. Can I talk to you?" She raised her little hands and she said, "Oh, praise God. I've been praying for the Messiah to send someone to my door." And I said, "Well, he heard you and I'm here. How long have you been praying?" 7 years. I said, "Well, sometimes he's a little slow, but always sure." And so I invited her to church. She started coming. And one Sunday she came down the aisle crying and gave her life to Christ. Ruth Bogan. She had living in her home with her brother-in-law, Noah, his wife, Esther, and their grown daughter, Miriam. I mean, these were really true blue Jewish people. And so she came down, gave her life to Christ. She's trying to witness to them and share Jesus. And then, "Ruth, you're not a Jew anymore. You've become a Goyim. You've become a Gentile," you know, all of this. And then once we moved up here, Ruth called me when I took this church in 92. She called me at near the end of that year, and she said, "Pastor, Noah died and went to be with the Lord. And I want you to know, when he was laying there in the hospital bed, I was there, and my sister Esther was there. And Noah called me over to his bed, not his wife Esther, and whispered to me and said, I believe Jesus is the Messiah and died. And I said, praise God, we'll see him again. Ruth, praise the Lord. But she prayed and asked God to send someone. You have some people in proximity to you that are praying similar prayers. I've shared this illustration a few times through the years, but there was Micah. When I was wiring for my dad as an electrician, I was wiring the panel for an education building for a Methodist church in Cordova, just north of Memphis, on a Saturday. And I thought I was the only one in the buildings. Dad, dropped me off there, and I'm in the panel room pulling this heavy wire and lugging it down into the panel. Got yellow 77 wire lubricant all over me. And the Lord starts speaking to my heart while I'm wiring that panel and said, I want you to go upstairs. It was three floors. I want you to go up on the third floor. And I said, Lord, I'm the only one here, and I got to finish this panel so I can get out of here. I got to, these thoughts in my heart back and forth, back and forth. And he just kept saying, I want you to get up and go upstairs. So finally I said, okay, I got up, got a dirty rag, wiped a bunch of that stuff off my arms, the lubricant. I go up the stairs, go to the third floor, and I hear a noise. And I go into one of the rooms, and here is a carpenter's helper named Micah, a high school kid, sweeping the debris up there in the room as we're getting it ready for them to occupy it. And so I cut to the chase. I go walk straight up to him. Micah, I didn't know his name then. I said, hello, I'm Daryl Orman. I'm an electrician and a Christian. I was downstairs, and the Lord told me to come up and talk to you. And he said, I'm Micah. I'm a senior in high school. I'm a worker here. And it's funny you should say that, he said to me. And I said, why? He said, I got up this morning to come to this job. And before I left my bedroom, I prayed. And I said, if there's a God in heaven, would you have someone come and talk to me? I said, well, there he is, and he heard you, and I'm here. Now, Ruth was 7 years, and Micah was one morning, less than a day. And so I shared Jesus with him. Micah gave his life to Christ, went home, led his younger sister to Christ. I was a youth pastor on the weekends. They came to church, and the next Sunday night, I baptized he and his sister and six other youth in our Sunday night service at Oak Haven Baptist Church. But the Lord is trying to get you to do that. The Lord is trying to get you to respond to people. The Lord is trying to speak to your heart to do that. It's not up to me. Oh, my pastor, he witnesses to everybody. So what? It's about you. And it's about the responsibility. And you may say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, I'm not a pastor. No. Are you a believer? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Men, women, boys, girls. And I just want to encourage you to do that. And follow through, because he will hold us responsible as the watchman. Number two, we're to share everything we know about God's purpose. As God instructs us, as he guides us, as he equips us, we're to share that with others. In verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. He told them everything. Everything he knew, he shared. Everything God's given you, you're responsible for. Every understanding that you have, you're to share it with others for their benefit, for their development, for their discipleship. And you don't have to teach a life group class. You don't have to be a life group leader. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You just have to be a believer. And so he wants us to share God's purpose, everything we know about that with every person that we can. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission to all of us. Go into the world and preach the gospel, share the gospel, teach the gospel to every person, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. So God, first of all, wants us to know the Word of God, to study it. We had a wonderful discussion today in our new young adult life group class. It wasn't quite on the lesson, but most of it. But we covered a lot of ground. And the idea of sharing everything we know with people for their benefit. In Acts chapter 20, this same chapter, we looked at this last week, verse 20. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. Number three, we're to guard other believers for two reasons. Number one, we're God's flock. We're a flock of sheep. And next week we'll look at the importance of that. And then we're God's church. We're a flock of sheep. It's interesting he chose that. They chose sheep. Actually, they're one of the dumbest animals. And they really need help. They need a lot of help. So that's why we need to protect each other. Through the years, I mean, I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, what about this? What about that? You know, and years ago, I had a couple in my first church that the Jehovah's Witnesses started coming to their house. The leader of the local Kingdom Hall was coming to their house. They were new baby Christians. He was a North Miami Beach detective. She was a flight attendant. And they were coming there. And, oh, Pastor, they told me at church one Sunday, we're having a Bible study at home with a guy. I said, what guy? Oh, a guy from a group of Christians near us that are real big on prophecy. I go, okay. Is he coming? Oh, yeah, he's coming Tuesday night. Can I come? Oh, please come. So I was there. He shows up. I'm Daryl Orman. I'm Kevin and Brigida's pastor. And let's go ahead and talk about some of the things you believe. He said, oh, no, not in front of them. Let's go out on the porch and talk. I said, why do we need to do that? Well, we shouldn't talk in front of them. So we go out on the porch, and he said, oh, we don't want to confuse them. I said, I don't think we'll confuse them. Let's do it. You know. And so then I said, well, I'll tell you what, you're the pastor of your Kingdom Hall. I'm the pastor of Gardens Baptist Church. Let me come over and debate you at your Kingdom Hall. No, that won't be necessary, he says. I said, I think it's very necessary. Well, then why don't you come over to my church and debate me? No, I'm not going to do that either. I could not pin the guy down. Beloved, God's given us black ink on white paper, a plain understanding. And when you know it and know that you know it, it gives you great boldness and confidence in any circumstance. And we're to protect each other with the Word of God. That the Word of God. I recently had one of our newer people here say, Pastor, every Sunday you share a lot of Scripture. I said, that's right. That's why it's called God's Word, not Daryl's Word. God's word's what counts, not Daryl's word. Amen? And so in Scripture, we see that we're to guard other believers for these two reasons. Now, in this passage, he talks about be on the guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers and shepherds, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is Jesus' church. It's not mine. Now, we do say my church in the sense of being a part of the flock, a part of the body, a part of the fellowship, but we don't own it. We didn't pay for it. He did. And he owns it. And it's his. And wherever you go, I had someone recently call members of ours that moved out of town, and they said, Pastor, we need direction for a church. And I said, go to a church preaching the word. Go to a church that's elevating Jesus. Where you walk in and you know it's Jesus's church, it's a word church, it's God's church. And we prayed for them and talked about that. We see here that there's these two references, overseers, which is actually in the Greek the term for episkopos, and then shepherd is poimen. Now, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here, Peter is talking about these responsibilities, the shepherding, the protecting each other. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for money, sordid gain, but with eagerness. Here we see these three terms in this passage, two of them in the last passage there in Acts, three of them in this passage. I exhort the elders among you. That's the Greek term presbyteros. What denomination do you think gets their name from this Greek word? Presbyterians. And that's an elder type of church government and an emphasis on elders, staff elders, lay elders, groups of elders. And that is a Presbyterian form of church government. Episcopos, the elders among you. And then he says, to the same group of men, same group of people, shepherd the flock of God among you. Poimen. Now, I would say what denomination comes from that, but I don't know of one. The Poiists or the Poia Baptist or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the Poiists, but we see that poimen, shepherd the flock of God. We're to be active shepherds of one another. And then exercising oversight, that's episkopos. What denomination do you think gets their name from it? Episcopalians. And so Episcopalians have bishops. Now, we see that through the centuries, this has gotten convoluted into like a hierarchy where there's bishops, elders, shepherds. And some denominations have adopted that. Catholic Church have even thrown in redbirds, cardinals. You know, got your cardinals and bishops and right on down the line. All of this structure is man-made and is not found in Scripture. In Scripture, you see that these are three functions of people who look after other believers. There are three functions that are interchangeable. And that's why the Apostle Paul here says that I'm encouraging the elders among you, and I'm encouraging them to shepherd and to oversee, to organize, and to look after the flock of God. And so you and I are to guard each other. It is okay to do that. I know I've seen some of y'all do it. I've heard of it before. Years ago, when Barack Obama was president, one Easter was approaching, and he said that Jesus was a son of God. Public, it's documented. Look it up for yourself. Well, I hit that in the service right afterwards, believe it or not. And so when I did that, and I talked about, and I was not encouraging about Barack Obama taking that position, one of the members sitting out there said, that's not true. What you're saying is not true. And then another member sitting behind this one said, yes, it is. I've seen it. It is so true. He wouldn't be sharing it publicly if it wasn't true. No, it's not. Yes, it is. You know, and I saw some shepherding going on between two members. And you and I are to look after each other. You're driving through town and you see a member, you know, going in a bar or walking out of the liquor store loaded with liquor or on the corner buying drugs, illegal drugs, you know. You have a responsibility to talk to them, not to tell everybody in the class, not to come back to church. You won't believe what I saw so-and-so do it. Boy, have I got a prayer request. No, it's not like that. You have a responsibility to take them aside and what were the circumstances there? And maybe it wasn't what it looked like. Maybe the person stopped to witness to the drug dealer. When I was a baby Christian, we went into the alleys in downtown Memphis. It was a little bit safer then. And we witnessed to drug dealers. Me and some of my friends had given their life to Christ. So you could have seen and said, oh, Daryl's in an alley buying drugs. No, I wasn't. I was sharing the supernatural antidote, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to shepherd each other. We're to look out for each other. You see something going on in someone's life, and your discernment kind of throws up a yellow flag, and you take them aside and say, is everything okay? I was wondering about this or that. You know, you seem depressed, you seem down, or, you know, you're hardening. I see you less. You know, I miss you. And we're to shepherd each other, look after each other. We've had members that fell out for COVID that have never, they hadn't gone to other churches. They just fallen out of church, hadn't been back since. And, you know, I don't know where they're at with that, with COVID. But so we see here that we're to guard each other. And then we're to be aware of wolves who draw people from Christ to themselves. And that's in verses 29 and 30 of our passage. I noted that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after them, not after Christ. When you know the word and you know what the word of God's saying, it warns you. Years ago, when I was a baby Christian, I was a teenager, I was standing on a scaffold painting a house in my neighborhood. I did that during the summer when I wasn't working for my dad doing electric work. I was listening to the radio. I was listening to Jimmy Swaggart. He was on the religious channel. And I was listening to Jimmy Swaggart, and Jimmy Swaggart said, and according to the theology of the movement he's in, the Pentecostal movement, he said, I want you to know that I don't sin anymore. That I've gotten to that place where I'm not sinning anymore. And I go, wow, how did he get there? I want to get there. Well, it wasn't but 2 years later, he was arrested with prostitutes in his car. So I don't know how that sinlessness was going. Well, I do know it didn't go very well. And you got to be careful. I mean, Kenneth Copeland years ago, he was talking about Satan. He said, Satan comes and he sits on my shoulder and I flick him off like a fly. I just knock him off. And he, you know, was like that. Well, I want to tell you something. We're not to fear Satan, but you better respect him. The Bible says that Michael the archangel did not bring a railing accusation against Lucifer, but said, the Lord rebuke you. I don't fear Satan, but I respect him. He is the greatest mass killer, mass everything that's ever been, the biggest liar that's ever lived, the greatest deceiver that's ever been. And we're not to worship him, we're not to fear him, but we're to respect him, and that's scriptural. And when you look at the Word of God, he's warning us to make sure that you're under someone who preaches the Word of God and attempts to live it. The Apostle Paul said that, follow me as I follow Christ. follow me as I follow Christ. And we've been disappointed a lot. I've had people come to me, what about so-and-so? What about this one? And years ago when I was witnessing to some businessmen, they brought up Swaggart over and over again, Jim Baker over and over again, all these others. And I just say, well, they're not Jesus and neither am I. We're all sinners saved by grace. And you're not to look, you're to follow Christ. But he does say, follow us as we follow Christ. So are you living for Jesus? Are you living the life of Christ? Can your neighbors, friends, relatives look at you and see Christ? So here we see that we're to be aware of the wolves. Then we're to admonish each other with compassion. Verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I want to call you in, I want to warn you, I want to correct you. And are you able to take correction? If you're not, according to Proverbs, you're a biblical fool. If you can't take correction. And so we're to correct each other, look out for each other, and be open. In my first years here, I got some nasty anonymous notes. Thankfully, it hadn't been in years. I hope this doesn't solicit any, but what the heck. So when I got them, I kept them. I read them over and over again. And our leadership, lay leadership at church, pastor, don't keep those. Don't read them. Don't even open the envelope. You know, if it doesn't have a return address on it, throw it away. And I said, no, I want to read through it because even in criticisms, there's a kernel of truth. And if there's something I need to think about, to be aware of, I want to filter it through. And they go, okay. In fact, if you came in my office, I have a file right now, and I could show you some of those letters. And it's interesting, to say the least. But I was discipled by Brother Bobby Moore, Broadway Baptist Church. And when people would criticize him, and occasionally it was publicly in his leadership, he would say, oh, brother, oh, sister, you don't know me very well. Well, that's when you think, here's the big defense coming. Here's the big explanation. And Brother Bobby would just simply say, you don't know me very well. If you did, you'd have a whole lot more to say. I mean, it tripped him up. It's like, what? You know, he'd say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You've hit a little of what you think it is. God knows it so much more, you know. And I mean, it was just a joy to watch him in his humility and his walk with Christ to handle those things. And we see in Scripture that the Bible says that we are to correct one another. We're to admonish one another. And this is to be private. If you go to the third party first, you're sinning. Did you hear me? Now, years ago, we had a couple in one of our young married classes, and she went to a hotel and caught her husband in adultery. And the next Sunday, she announced it to the class. I mean, it was like, what? And when I heard about it, I wasn't in that class. And when I heard about it, yeah, she had a prayer request. And boy, was it a doozy. Let me ask you something. Do you think her husband ever came back to church here again? No. No, she cut him off with a sickle from the grace of God. Now, should she have been mad? Furious. I mean, indignant, furious, disappointed, everything. Was he wrong? 1,000%. But that should have been a personal confrontation, or they possibly should have called me and come in, and we've dealt with things before with different people over different things. And they should have worked through it. We've had another couple, they took their differences to Facebook. As a couple, living in the same house, publishing all this garbage about him, about her, him, her, him, her. I mean, they just scorched earth, destroyed each other on Facebook. You know, so here we see in Scripture that our admonishment for one another is to be with compassion. And we're to depend on God and His Word. And this is how we end our passage here today. And now I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We depend on God and His Word for two reasons. To build us up, the Word of God adds to us. The Word of God constructs us. The Word of God improves us in such a powerful way. And then also, God Almighty, He wants to give us an inheritance. An inheritance. We talk about the riches in Christ. We talk about our inheritance that we're going to have, that He's given us an inheritance in Christ Jesus. That inheritance, I believe, and the riches of heaven are not valuable stones and metals, not anything tangible like that, but more valuable, it's the omniscient knowledge and character of God. And He's going to share it with all of us. All of our loved ones that have died in Christ are now partakers of the divine nature, and they share in this illustrious wealth of God Almighty. They have all knowledge in the universe. People, well, can they see me? Can they hear me? I go to their graveside and talk to them. You don't have to do that. They see and know everything about you. We're encompassed about by a cloud of witnesses, and they're all watching us 24/7 every second, and they know everything about us. They know every molecule of your body. They know the number of hairs on your head, and God has shared this with us, this inheritance, this rich, amazing, limitless inheritance that He's going to give each and every one of us, glorified body. Will they recognize me in heaven? Recognize you? They'll recognize everyone as if they've known everyone their entire lives. Will I be able to get close to Jesus? Of the billions that will be there, every one of them will be 1,000% Christ-like. Every one of them will be an express image of Jesus. So if you're near anybody, you're near Jesus. We will all of us born again, all of us indwelt by the Spirit of God, all of us trusting in the righteousness of Christ, all of us will be little Jesuses, every one of us. Can you imagine being in a place like that? I mean, this week was such a shot in the heart for Kim and I, a shot of adrenaline. To be with 10,000 young people worshiping God at the top of their lungs. I mean, the Holy Spirit was coming over us in waves. And I thought, what is heaven going to be like with billions of people? Billions of people worshiping God. All of them like Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So this is what God's given us. God is giving us. It comes from Him and His Word. And that's the riches. I have found in my own life, you say, my walk with Christ is dry. You say, Jesus seems far away lately or not close. I want to tell you it is directly related to your daily consumption of the Word of God. Daily taking in God's Word. As you know, and I've done it for years and years, I've read through the Bible probably in my lifetime now around 35, 40 times, Genesis to Revelation, with the one-year Bible. And there's years where I fall behind. There's 2 years ago I didn't finish it. Last year I did. I'm current right now. But I have found on the times, like maybe I go out of town for a week and I forget it, and I leave my devotional Bible here, I'll find that my spirit's drying up. I'll find that I feel a little bit further away from Christ. And then when I get back in the Word, start reading again daily, two or three a day till I catch up, and then get back current, I find freshness again. Jesus said it. He meant it. It's true. We do not live by bread alone, food, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you today for your word. I thank you for the opportunity for us to meet together and to celebrate you. We want to brag on you. We love you. It's you. It's you. Everything you've done, everything you've given us. Thank you for this sweet fellowship. Thank you for the love we have in this body for one another. And I just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to pour your Spirit out on us. We know that you're conducting an awakening. It's beginning. Please let us be a part of it. Please awaken us. Please, dear God, draw us to yourself. I pray right now for everyone listening, watching, however they're doing it. I pray, dear God, that if they don't know you, if you don't live inside of them, if your spirit is not inside of them, please knock at their door, open their awareness, illuminate them, open their understanding, and help them to see their need to invite you into their life, to surrender themselves to you, to receive your payment for them. And I'd like to invite you right now to say, Almighty God, you see me, you know me, you hear me in my heart right now. I want to know you for sure. I want your spirit living in my life. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Apply the payment of the death of Christ to my life, to me, and save me and change me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want to invite you to respond to God. So Anna Bowerman has an update for a prayer request that we've all partaken in.
Yes, I feel like Paul Harvey. I needed to give you the end of the story. Dina, we went up north. She had her surgery. And last
Tell month, them who Dina is.
Dina's my daughter that I've asked you all to pray for. And she had her surgery, and they didn't have to take a lot of the lymph nodes under her arm, which was a praise, but the biopsies came back totally clear, cancer-free. Amen. So she wanted me to take my prayer group out for a breakfast or something. I said, oh, honey, I said, you don't realize I have a very large prayer group. And so I just want to thank you. I'm sorry I'm not taking you all out for breakfast, but
how about
you.
Lunch?
Oh, yeah. But the power of prayer, and it not only was a blessing, but it also has opened her eyes a little more. She needed to see what the power of prayer can do. Not always that we get our will, but God is in control. And thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Roman, would you come and dismiss us in prayer?
Dear God, thank you for this great sermon that Pastor has provided us with. And I pray that this sermon just blessed everyone's day, and that we will spread the word to everyone that we meet. And amen.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're going to dig until we find them all.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCN.